I'd like to turn your attention to Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 18 down through verse 24. We'll read this in a few moments as a means of introducing the lesson that we want to talk about this evening. We're thankful for the presence of all, especially those who are visitors that might have be in our number. We are thankful for your presence and hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. We are indeed grateful for the health that we're able to enjoy and God's watchful care over us and the blessings that we have, and we need to thank Him every day for that which He has given to us. In Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, we find something about the men that lived between the time of Adam and Noah, and this evening we want to especially study about one, a man by the name of Enoch. It says, Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. After he begat Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He begat sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For the time that we do have together this evening, we want to consider this particular phrase that is spoken concerning Enoch, that he walked with God. We know very little about the men in that time between Adam and Noah. What is known unto us is recorded to us in this one particular chapter we have here, Genesis chapter 5. We find there covered some 1,500 years of people when they lived. And so it is a very long period of time, but yet very few things are written. Concerning this one individual, though, it says that he walked with God. Now, recorded for us here is a very short but a very beautiful biography about an individual. That God's Word said this about this particular man. You know, biographies written by other individuals may embellish a little bit about the achievements of certain individuals as they are writing about them. But this is the Word of God. This is inspired truth that has been declared about this one man. And it says concerning him, he walked with God. What higher honor could anybody have bestowed upon them than they lived such a godly life that it was said of them that God, or that they walked with God. As we read, he was the son of Jared. He was the father of Methuselah. He was in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He walked with God. Literally, what that word means is to go along. This is what Enoch did. He went along with God. He did what God did. He did those things that were pleasing in the sight of God. Now, this particular expression is found elsewhere in the Old Testament concerning Noah, as we just read here, that he walked with God. Concerning Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis in verse 1, it says there, he walked before God and was perfect. The children of Israel were commanded in Deuteronomy 13 and 4 to walk after God, fear Him, and keep His commandments. And even over in the New Testament, we find such expressions by Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 about being imitators of God, and this is about the same thing, although this man, it said, walked with God. The Bible reveals to us characteristics about Enoch's walk. It was one of endurance, as we can see. It says there in verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, well, I'm reading the wrong one. It says there that he walked with God in verse 22. He walked with God 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, that's a long period of time, isn't it? Think of the individual in your life that has lived a great number of years, and in those number of years, most of them, if not all of them, from the time that they could understand the truth, they lived in the sight of God, right and acceptable. They, from the very time they understood what the gospel was, that they began to live that truth. They lived it to the very best of their ability all the days of their life. And perhaps they may have given in service unto God 50, 60, maybe even 70 years of devoted service unto Him. We can think of people in our own lifetime who have done that. But here was a man who walked with God for 300 years. That's a long period of time to be devoted to truth, to be devoted to the righteousness that God was revealing unto man at this particular time. His walk then was one of endurance. It was one of perseverance. Because in the very next chapter we see what God says concerning men in the world, that wickedness was on the rise at this particular time, that it was on the increase. Here's a man who was the great-grandfather of Noah. And as it says concerning the people in the days of Noah, that here God looked down and he saw the wickedness that was there, and the thoughts of men were evil continually. And yet here was an individual that did not give in to that. He did not cave in to the popular theories and the popular philosophies of the day and following after wickedness. He was one that persevered. His life also was not one I think we could consider would be an easy life. In Jude, we find in verses 14 and 15, this is what the writer Jude says about Enoch. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about those men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all and to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." The inspired writer Jude said this is what Enoch had to say. Enoch's life was not a passive one. Surely he saw the wickedness that was around him, but he did not simply sit back and say, "That's none of my business. That's not what I'm supposed to be about. I don't want to get involved in that kind of thing." Here is one who prophesied about the men of his day. He stood up and he said these things concerning them and their deeds. It was not an easy life for Enoch. One who was a preacher, one who was a prophesier of the Word of God. By the very fact that it says that he walked with God, we know that it was a life of nearness unto God, one that was in obedience unto the commands that had been given to him by God. We see also that he strove to develop a character like unto God's character, having communication or fellowship with God, as his children should. A life that was pleasing to God, springing from that root of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." His life was one that was lived by faith in God. It was rooted in that faith. So we find some of these characteristics of the life of Enoch revealed to us throughout the inspired Word. Consider just for a moment what a grand privilege it is for any one of us, and to have been said of us at the end of our life, that we walked with God. That we walked with the Creator of this world. You know, we feel a very distinct honor to be with some great people in this life. Maybe some great personality that you know of, that you look up to and almost count as a hero. And in some instances, you might pattern your thinking in your life after that particular person. What a distinct honor it would be to sit down perhaps with them and have a meal. Sit down and discuss a few things with them in this life. You know, that'd be an honor for us to be able to do such as that. We need to consider the very distinct honor that we as children of God have in being association with God, in being His children, in walking with Him. We walk in His commandments. And that way we do have the fellowship and association with our Father who is in heaven. You know, different men in this life in which we live require different things in order for us to associate with them. For example, we can see even in our own society how that in many instances those who are the intellectual giants only like to associate with those individuals who are of the same intellect as they. We find those who are rich and have wealth associating with those who have the same kind of things in this life. And it's almost that you've got to be that way before you can associate with them. There are things in common that they share before there is that association, before there is that walking with them. There are things that are needed by us in order that we also walk with God. We want to talk about a couple of those things this evening. But notice what the inspired prophet Micah had to say in Micah chapter 6 and in verses 6 through 8. Here is a passage of scripture that we are quite familiar with and the things that Micah had to say. And it says there, beginning in verse 6 of Micah 6, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" You know, this is the same thing that the people are, or God is asking of the people. The people want to know, what do we have to do to be pleasing in the sight of God? What is it that God wants of us, that we might associate, that we might have fellowship, and that we might walk with Him? The prophet says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" There are things that we need to do. There is a way of life that we need to live in order to be pleasing in the sight of God, in order to walk with Him. One of those things that we need in order to be pleasing and in order to walk with God is faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, again a passage of scripture there that we have read probably to ourselves many times during our reading of the Bible. We've heard it many times in sermons. It has been the springboard for many sermons and lessons that have been taught from the Word of God. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." Without faith, there is absolutely no way we can be pleasing in the sight of God. If we are going to walk with Him, if we're going to have that distinct privilege and honor of having that association and fellowship with the Creator of this world, then we're going to have faith. We cannot walk with God by sight. That's an impossibility. We do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. It is something that has to be in our life as children of God. God is a spirit. John 4 and verse 24 declares this unto us, as Christ is talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. God is a spirit. We now are in a physical form, and we cannot in this way walk with God. The only way that we have of walking with the Spirit is by the Spirit. It is not by sight. God has not made some kind of physical manifestation unto us whereby we can walk with Him physically like we do a companion here in this life. If we are going to walk with God, it's going to be by faith. Faith in the things that He has declared unto us. We cannot walk by our own sight. We must allow Him also to lead us. We must allow Him to lead us in that way of righteousness. In 2 John in verse 9, something that we referred to this morning in our lesson, but it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Some of you may have a footnote in your Bible and concerning this particular word, transgress. But that word literally in the Greek means to take the lead or to go ahead of. What the inspired writer is trying to impress upon us is that we cannot take the lead before God. We cannot go before Him. For in so doing, we are going to be transgressors of His law. We must allow Him to lead us if we are going to walk with Him. But you know, this is a problem that so many human beings have. We don't like to follow. We like to take the lead. We like to jump out in front of others. And it's so true spiritually also. How many of you have ever been walking out in the woods with your children? And from time to time you might say, well, here, stay by me, stay close by. Well, it's almost useless to waste your breath in doing that, isn't it? I remember walking out into the woods with my son, with Josh and Jesse and Allison as they're growing up. And if there's a path there that you're going down, where are they going to be? They're going to be way down the trail and around the bend, and you're going to have to yell for them. Because they want to get out. They want to take the lead. This may be something, again, that's built in. We want to explore. We don't want to follow people. Might be all right in a physical way. But spiritually, we cannot do that. Spiritually, when we begin to take the lead, if I can use another metaphor, we are sailing on uncharted waters. And the only way that we have to a port of safety is through Jesus Christ and following Him. And when we begin to take that lead, then we're no longer following. We're no longer walking with Him, but we are walking literally or spiritually ahead of Him. Our society, though, seems to reward those individuals who strike out on their own. And they are individuals. Again, this may be okay in the physical sense, but spiritually it is not. To walk with God, we walk by faith and walk with Him. Whenever the teachings of Christ are rebelled against, we are failing to follow Him. We are taking the lead. And we can see time and time again in both the Old and the New Testament how this was done. There in the Garden of Eden in the first sin, the Word of God was rebelled against because as Eve and Adam took of that fruit that God had told them not to, they rebelled against Him in the wilderness. Also, we find the children of Israel doing the same thing. In the New Testament, with the scribes and the Pharisees and the traditions that they had established, they were going before God. They were blazing the trail, we might say. And we know that it's not in man to direct his own steps. A person can feel that something is right and still be opposed to the Word of God. When we are led by faith, we allow the Word of God to lead us. We might, in some instances, be all right if we allow our conscience to be our guide, but it cannot be the only guide that we have. Because the conscience, if it is trained in a certain way, will allow absolutely anything at all. We hear people talk about a heartfelt religion, a religion that is better felt than told. You know, when you talk to an individual like this, it's going to be exceedingly hard to convert that person to Christ because they're not going to listen to the truth, because they're not guided by the truth. They're guided by what they feel in their heart. But what we feel in our hearts is not the thing that is going to save us. The truth is going to save us. That truth is the faith which has been revealed, and this is what we walk in if we are going to walk with God. As I said a few moments ago, a person can feel that there is something that is right religiously, but it may be in reality opposed to the Word of God. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Isn't that the way it is with a lot of people when you talk to them? They just feel like that they are right with God. They can't base it on anything that they find in the Bible, just a feeling that they have. It seems right to them, but the ends thereof, the Word of God says, is the ways of death. Now, this way that man has taken, this way that he has decided to strike out on his own and go before God, spiritually speaking, is a way that's not just pleasant. If it weren't pleasant, he wouldn't take it. But it's one that, as it says here, seems right to him. It seems good that he ought to be doing this. That this seems to him to be something that would be pleasing even in the sight of God. It's a way that promises so much good. It's a way that flatters the individual that goes that particular way. And also, as we have seen in our own experience, others are going to follow that way. Others have done it before, and others will continue to follow it because it's the way of man and not the way of God. And it seems right unto him. There is no apparent evil, and it's almost as if the ends justifies the means in the mind of this individual that does those things that seems right in his own eyes. But as the verse says, it just seems good. It just seems right. Man, though, is relying upon his own feelings. He's not looking to the Word of God. The Word of God lets us know what is right. And there is a vast difference between knowledge and feeling. You know, Jacob, when the coat of his son Joseph was brought back to him, he thought he was dead. He knew that he was dead. He began to break down and cry, and he would not be comforted by his children. He knew his son was dead. His feelings led him to that. But that was not the truth of the matter. The truth was his son was still alive, although he had been sold into slavery. We need to know and can know the truth that is revealed in the Word of God, and we can walk by that truth. We don't have to rely upon our feelings. It seems good to man as he establishes what he thinks is good, but not what God has established as being good. Saul of Tarsus is a good example of what we're talking about here, of an individual that followed his conscience and he thought he ought to be persecuting that way of Jesus of Nazareth and those that were following him. But on the road to Damascus, we find that Paul had his good feelings. He already thought he ought to be doing these things. But it was revealed unto him he was doing that which was against God. Faith, that which is revealed unto us, that which we have and walk by, is a thing that is needed if we are going to walk with God. This is something that Enoch had. By faith, Enoch was translated. If we're going to walk with God, we are also going to have faith also. There's another thing that is essential, and that is agreement. Agreement is something that is essential if we're going to walk in harmony with God. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, we find the expression, as God is writing to the children of Israel there through the prophet, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" This agreement that we have with God is not something that is by accident. It is not something that comes by on chance. When we walk with God in an agreement with Him, it is because that is something we have purposed to do. We don't live a godly life by accident. We strive to do that. We're not going to get to the day of judgment and stand before Christ and be surprised that we are saved because accidentally we did that which was right. If we have salvation on that day, it's going to be because we have purpose to do that. We have set out to be in agreement with the will and with the Word of God. It's interesting to note that this word agreement, as it is found in the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, says there, "except they know each other." This is what the word agreement literally means. That's the way that it's translated in the Septuagint version of the Old Testament scriptures. "Except they know each other." And this is not just some simple acquaintance with one another. You know, we have acquaintances from time to time that we meet. We might meet them every year or something like that. We're not talking about that kind of knowing or that kind of being in agreement with each other. We're talking about something and people who truly know each other. They have spent time together. And this is what we are talking about in walking with God, spending time with Him. We should have the same purpose as God. We should want to accomplish the same ends that God has in mind in exactly the same way that He has in mind. And as children of God, this is the salvation of our soul, the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To walk with God as He would walk in righteousness and also walk in holiness. This is what God wants of us. This is how we can walk with Him. How do we walk with Him, though? As we said a few moments ago, He's not going to physically manifest Himself unto us so that we might be able to walk with Him and to talk with Him as we do, friends. We walk in Him, with Him and in His company through His Word, through that which has been given. And this is a habit of life. Walking with God is a habit of life. It's not an occasional thing. It's not like one day we get up and we say, "Well, I'll walk with God." And the next day we get up and we say, "Well, I don't think I will today." It's a way of life with us. Oh, in that walk, in that pathway of light and righteousness, we are going to do those things that are wrong, but we have an advocate with the Father that we can ask forgiveness of our sins. This is something that we continually do. There are so many in this world who pretend to walk with God, but they refuse to agree with Him. And that's what we're talking about here. You cannot walk with God without being in agreement with Him. There are those who are makers of human creeds, of their own way of salvation, their own doctrines and disciplines and manuals that govern their religious life and their relationship to God that is not in agreement with this book that we have revealed unto us. We cannot walk with God and live by some other standard. We must conform to His will, not to our own. It is He who has made us. We didn't make ourselves. We sinned against Him. And there's no other way in which we can be pleasing to Him than by walking with Him. We must be in agreement in word and in deed and in thought. This agreement, as we said, is in the light of His Word, that which has been revealed unto us. As we read also this morning from 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Here is the way that we walk with God in agreement with Him, is in this Word that has been revealed, in this light, in the pathway of righteousness. That's the only way. This revealed Word is the light. Everything else is darkness. And when we follow the light, we have fellowship with Him. We have agreement with Him. And we have agreement and fellowship with those who are His children. We have fellowship with God. We walk with Him. He has established that pathway in which we are to walk. He will be in that pathway. And to walk with Him, we must be on that pathway. These are two things that I believe are essential: faith and agreement. But we want to consider one other thing before closing this evening. And that is simply this: that if we are going to walk with God, then that requires of us, we're going to reject every other way. Every other way that comes along, we're going to reject it. No matter how good it might sound or how good we might feel about it, if we want to incorporate some of those things in what God has said, we're going to reject them. If we're going to walk by faith, if we're going to live in agreement with the Word of God. If it is not God's way, then it is wrong. We reject it. We reject our own way and our own will and live by what God has said. There is a way of righteousness and there's a way of evil. In these passages that we have pointed out here, in Psalms 1, it talks about the man that is blessed in the sight of God and what he does. And in the last three verses of that chapter, it talks about the man that is not approved in the sight of God and what God is going to do to that individual. There is a way of righteousness. There is a way of evil. And we can choose to walk in one or the other. But to walk with God, we're going to do what He says, and we're going to reject everything else. There is a narrow way. There is a broad way before us. A decision is made. What are we going to do? Are we going to walk in the pathway of righteousness that leads to heaven? Or are we going to choose something else? When we choose God's way, we reject everything else. There is the way of the Spirit and the way of the flesh. What are we going to follow? The way of the Spirit leads unto life. The way of the flesh leads unto death. It is there before us. There is one way to heaven. That is God's way. All other ways are going to fail. And in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8, it is called a way of holiness. Isaiah said, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. The way of God is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. There is no other way to walk with God but through Jesus Christ, through this which He has revealed. God's richest blessings are going to be poured out on those individuals who walk with Him. Just as in the case of Enoch, as we read there in the very beginning, he walked with God. And God saw fit not for him not to die. He was translated. God took him, and he did not see death. Can we walk with God today? Yes, we can. We can by being in agreement with His Word, by living by faith. It is God's way that will bring salvation. It is man's way that will cause us to be lost. You have an opportunity in your lifetime to be in association with the Creator of all of things, to call upon Him as Father, to address Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have that opportunity in this life. But in order to do that, you must submit yourself unto the Word of God, unto the will, unto the faith that has been delivered. Enoch walked with God, pleased God, and he never tasted death. You and I can do the same thing. Not in the sense of physical death. We're going to die physically unless we're alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But we don't have to face that second death. We don't have to face that eternal separation from God. If you want to live forever, then you must walk with God in this life. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation that God has given unto all men. Won't you answer that invitation? The song has been selected. We use it as a means of encouragement. Obey Him now as we stand and as we sing.